Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. There's drones flying, there's Christmas time, Christmas wrapping, Christmas stuff, movies to talk about, tinfoil hats, Tom's shitty picks, we got it all. So let's get rolling. I forgot last week to give Ed the lead in. So Ed, let's one watch. Everybody knows the rules. You know how we do it.
I do it. You know, but here's the thing. You were on a roll last week. I didn't want to be rude and interrupt you. So, I mean, sometimes you just got to go with it, man. You know, it can't be, you know, it can't be that way all the time. But here we go. All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of T-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalized, each piece is made with top-notch quality and the timeless styles that you crave. Perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelf, so don't be cheap. Buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorite things before they're gone. And then check out the 1970 T-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
So the way I'm going to start doing this one watch, everybody knows the rules. Segment of the movie review, whoever picked last week will start and they will give us their score, which was Ed, and we will finish with the professor because he's on the clock for his pick next. So Ed, I'm going to ask you about your pick, Die Hard. I want to know, in your opinion, is it a Christmas movie? Take it away.
It is a Christmas movie. I mean, it is. It's set at Christmas time. And, you know, it's a great movie. I mean, I'm going to give it – is it quotable? Yes. Is it a timeless classic? Yes. Does it bring – have some nostalgia to it? Of course it does. I think it checks all those boxes. I think that, you know, I watched it Friday night, you know, again, and I hadn't seen it in probably about 2 or 3 years, and I watched it from start to finish. And it was entertaining. It flowed. There was not like a lot of dead spots in it. The acting was great. I mean, you know, I mean, how can you not like what that movie brings to the table as far as entertainment value? I mean, it's, you know, the acting, but what's his name that does Hans Gruber? I mean, it's fantastic. He's like, it's just like that, man, it's like he builds that kind of like almost like, man, this dude is a dirtbag, but he's a smart criminal, you know? And so you almost like respect him, but you hate him at the same time. So I'm going to give it a 7.7. All right?
7.7 from Steady Eddie.
I think that that's just a fair score. I think it's a timeless classic, you know? Welcome to the party, pal, you know?
Phantom, take it away. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I don't think Die Hard's a Christmas movie. I think Die Hard's a movie that takes place during Christmas. This whole Christmas narrative didn't come into play until years later. Like, we didn't go watch it going, oh, let's go check out this Christmas movie.
Well, it was released in July.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
But anyways, that's this is the ultimate guys movie. You can't beat it. It's action. You got Andy's one-liners in there. Let's boost it up a couple. I love it. This is like probably in my like the action genre top five easy. Start comparing it to like these heavy dramas and stuff like that. Probably not so much. So it's like it's tough when you want to give it a score because right off the rip, I already want to be like that's one of my favorite movies, 9. But you can't really compare it to you know. Some of the stuff that's over here.
Wait, but Brad Wood, he would rate it amongst the dramas. You know, he likes to. He set the tone with that. But go ahead.
on the Brad scale, I'm giving it a 10.2. Tommy, don't document that. But I'll go 8.5 for Die Hard.
Okay, let me weigh in. I got Shaggy score. Before I give you my little diatribe on this, Shaggy score was 8.4. Mm. And he had a little bit more to add, but too much. So 8.4 for Shaggy. So I'm going to tell you that I never really thought Die Hard was a Christmas movie, but I'm going to tell you why I think it is. Every song in that movie is a Christmas song. There's not one song on that soundtrack that's not a Christmas song. So is it a Christmas movie? I would say yes, just on the soundtrack alone. There's not one song in that movie that is not Christmas based. So I'm going to change my opinion over the years, and I'm going to say, yeah, it is, just on that. Looking at the scale of things that pertain to this movie, is it quotable? Of course it is. I think it's one of the first movies where the action hero gets kind of, as I like to say, shows his ass with the bare feet. You know, you got the Schwarzeneggers and the Stallones. They never would really get beat up. He's beat up the whole movie. His whole thing is trying to just adapt to that environment that keeps happening. You know, the glass on the feet, he's barefooted. You know, it's different. It's a different style of action movie where the hero isn't really, it shows some vulnerability. And one of the scales, when I used to talk movies before, and I never really brought this up, but I'll bring it up now, I'd like to add three different tiers to, is this movie something you would recommend to watch? Is it something that you would say is a must-see? And then the highest tier, would you own it in your collection? So it goes in my highest tier of, it is in my collection. So I would recommend, if we were back buying movies, this is something you would definitely want in your collection. I bet you everybody would kind of agree on that. If you're a DVD collector back in the day or a VHS collector when it came out, I had both. So it's high on my list. So I'm going to give it an 8.2. Bradford, you're on deck.
So first of all, the Die Hard franchise is right up there with the Rambos, the Rockies, all those great action flicks, the Terminators, because like you said, back in the day, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Harrison Ford, Clint Eastwood, they were just pumping these movies out left and right. We don't get these movies anymore. Now, if Vin Diesel makes an action flick, people berate him. Oh, that movie sucks. The acting sucked. This sucked. Everything sucked. I'm like, bro, what do you want? Like, this is the formula we used from way back. And now we do it nowadays, and if it's not full of CGI and fucking superheroes, then nobody wants to go see it. We got to bring these movies back, is my point. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? 100%. Not only is it a Christmas movie, they use the same Hallmark movie formula to make Hallmark Christmas movies in Die Hard. I got to pull it up. The Hallmark formula. Movies feature a big star or big star power, most commonly in the way of leading lady. So his wife is like, she's kind of like a side bit, but she's still the leading lady. The trope of a lonely but successful executive beloved person at a crossroads in his or her career. That's the whole point of the movie. His wife is an executive. He's a New York cop. He lives in New York. She's in California. They're at this crossroads. They don't know who's going to live where and how who's going to keep their career. The movie aims to teach a magical lesson, which in this movie is the meaning of the holiday season. It's at its heart is a Christmas movie.
Never leave your detonators alone.
What? Hey, but what is John McClane's wife's name?
Holly.
Holly, bro. Her name. So Hallmark movies always have a Christmas themed. There's always a word that references Christmas. Holly, right? I don't have to explain that. So I think it's not only, oh, and the formula involves a man and woman meeting under awkward circumstances. What is more awkward than being held hostage on Christmas Eve? Stars Bruce Willis in his prime, Carl Winslow, freaking cameos in this movie. Like, how do you not love that? And I'll even go one step deeper. If you guys love some Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, the guy that played Vigo, the demon guy in the painting. I actually have that poster around here somewhere, hanging up every Halloween in Lucas's room. That guy Vigo is a henchman side character in this Die Hard movie.
He's the number. He's one large bloke between Hans.
Yeah, this movie is so great, man. I'm gonna give it an 8.2. Wait, what'd you say, Andy?
Eight two.
Oh no, 8.1 then. 8.1. Such a
Yeah,
fun movie, man.
so before we get to the professor, I want to say you're calling for a remake of Die Hard starring Lacey Chabert. That's what you're looking for.
What?
Because she is like in every Hallmark movie.
She is.
So you're looking for a Hallmark remake of Die Hard starring Lacey Chabert. Brad called it.
Let's do it.
Yep.
I mean, Bruce Willis
Professor.
is like sick with old Alzheimer's or
Yeah,
something.
I don't even want to see it because I was such a big fan of his, so I don't want to see him in his demise.
Yeah, he's
Just
in a bad way.
Professor, Christmas movie or not?
Absolutely. I had like eight little comments to write down, and you guys took them all. So the only thing, other thing I'll say is that the Santa even made an appearance. Now, granted, it was a dead body coming down the elevator, but he made an appearance, man. And there are different lines, Christmas lines in it. Like Alan Rickman one time, Hans Gruber told Theo, he says, "It's what did he say? It's Christmas Eve, Theo. Miracles happen." So that was when I believe they were trying to figure out the passcodes. But this kind of nostalgic for me because back when I was younger, around this time, I'd go to the movies every Sunday with my dad, and this was one of the ones we saw. So this was right up our alley. Like every week we go see an action movie. So this is the genre we like too. But the cast was great. I mean, it's kind of sad thinking now what's going on with Bruce Willis and seeing him when he was in his like heyday right here. But yeah, like it's funny the 80s characters they had in this. The Reginald Val Johnson, who's Carl Winslow and family, what was it, Family Matters,
Yep.
Bonnie Bedelia, Alan Rickman, which this was his first feature film, and he actually turned it
Oh.
down originally because he didn't want to do an action movie, but his agent talked him into it. And then you've got the two guys that play prototypical dicks in every movie. The guy, Paul Gleason, who was the deputy chief, is the principal from Breakfast Club. And the other
Yep.
guy, William Atherton, who's the TV guy, he plays the professor in Real Genius. So, and they play dicks in like every movie they're in. And you've got the guy from Goonies, Robert Davi plays one of the FBI agents, and he's one of the brothers that in from the Goonies. But they had just a great cast, and I'm gonna go with a score of eight. I just think it was had all the lines that are repeated now, and we use a lot of them. And now my wife made this 2 years ago, and I'm going, you guys brought it up, but it's even a Christmas ornament. My wife made this as a
Oh,
Christmas ornament.
nice.
We hang on the tree every year. It's him and the Bruce
Yep.
Willis in the shaft, the air ducts. But yeah, I'm gonna go with an eight. And by the way, our number one fan Darren got back to me, and he's gave it a 7.9.
Okay, so add
Nice.
that in. Add that in. So what do we got for grand total?
All right, now if this was Family Guy, you'd be playing a piano right now. Give me some filler for a second so I can figure it out.
Okay, let me ask Brad, is the Carl Winslow character that's in, is that a prequel for Family Matters? Is Die Hard a
Ooh.
prequel for Family Matters?
It's a
I don't
part
know.
of the book.
Family Matters takes place in Chicago, though, right?
Well, hey.
Yeah, I would say yes. I don't care. It's Carl Winslow, man.
While Carl Winslow was filming this movie, did he hit that Diddy potty?
Oh.
Heard he's one of the guys
Ooh.
that got stuffed.
Oh.
While he was filming this movie, I don't think Diddy was a thing when this movie was made. Like 20 years too soon.
So it's not really 20 years too soon because the whole Diddy thing started in the early 90s, right? With that whole record company that he had there.
Bad Boy Records?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that? I don't know the time frame. But
Well,
when did Die Hard come out?
87.
Oh, so maybe you missed it by a couple years.
Yeah. Thomas.
All
8.11 is the score. right, 8.1 that's respectable, isn't it? What do you think?
Yep.
All right,
Really
so
good for
we are in
movie.
suspense, Professor. What is your pick for movie homework? One watch, everybody knows
Well,
the rules.
Ed left me hanging fruit with by not taking the obvious choice. I'm going to take it because I didn't do a whole lot of research. So I'm going to go with Christmas Story.
You mean no, Andy?
Oh.
Was a classic.
Oh.
It's super quotable.
It's so
Very
quotable.
quotable.
My son has a pink bunny suit costume. He wore it to school on Friday.
My
Well,
Christmas card was based on it this year.
let
I
me
didn't
see.
get one, Tom.
Yeah, you left out the
Yeah.
Bradford.
Yeah, you didn't
What
send one
happened?
out, buddy.
It's coming, snail mail. Hold on.
Tom doesn't mail past the Mason-Dixon line, just so you know.
I forgot to send you guys ours as well, so my bad.
Sons of bitches, bumpuses. We'll get that for next week.
Yeah.
Eight
Don't
one
just
for
the
Die Hard.
dogs.
So, anything else you want to add to the Die Hard lore before we turn the page?
RIP to Alan Rickman. Like, what a great actor who's in so many incredible movies. And like, this is the movie that launched him. You know, it's just wild, man. It's crazy to think about it.
I watched last night. Die Hard was actually on Dinner and a Movie on TBS, and they actually had the guy that plays Argyle in studio as a guest, and he
Whoa.
looks a lot different. Yeah,
It's
he
pretty cool,
could
though.
have been a P. Diddy type character before prequel to the P. Diddy with the Argyle. So let's turn the page and talk about something that we preempted the show on Saturday night for Brad. What did we watch last night? Saturday night's main event, the return of Saturday night's main event.
The
So I
return.
was texting a few people during this, and you know what I'm going to say? The middle of the show was unnecessary. The bookend matches, the Drew McIntyre, they're really trying to do a lot with him. He had a Busted Open podcast appearance this week. I don't know if you guys saw it, where he got up and walked out. I like when you don't know whether it's a work or not. That's what wrestling's all about. And after they went off the air, they created another little buzz with the Cody injury angle and what they're going to do with the Winged Eagle belt, because I guess Kevin Owens still has it. I guess he didn't give it back to Triple H. So I want to go to the Phantom first, and I know Brad's chomping at the bit. Phantom, tell us about your thoughts on the return of Saturday night's main event.
I thought it was all right. I thought they tried to get a little nostalgic with it. Brought back Jesse. Shell of himself, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Pat McAfee blows him away, so I could have just had Pat McAfee and been happy with it. Main event I thought was pretty good. All the stuff that happened afterward, after it went off the air, kind of doesn't make any sense to me. If it was a regular pay-per-view or something, everybody will kind of catch up with it on Raw or on your social medias and that. But when you got something on network TV and you might actually get people watching that might not have even watched before just because it's on regular television, why would you kind of put the best part after it goes off the air? Kind of make I don't know if it was if it was done intentional or if it was a time-wise thing, but I thought they kind of blew that a little bit. But the angle of it is that's going to be pretty good. Kevin Owens, like, got to give him his props. He's like super believable. That guy should never not be a heel. When he's a heel, he's awesome. Like you said too, with Drew McIntyre, he's killing it too. Rest of the card a little filler, but whatever. I thought it was pretty decent though. Not too bad. Nice start.
A couple of nice botches on last night. Damian Priest. I have a nickname for him that I won't repeat on the show, but he's a botch fest. But give it to Gunther. He deadlifted that guy up because he would not help him, or he mistimed the help on the power bomb. And
Yep.
I don't know what you say about Gunther, but that guy, he's a throwback.
Yeah.
That's to say the least. And then I guess when Priest dove out onto him, he hooked his hip on the rope or his leg on the rope, and cracked him in the head. But I don't think you're stopping Gunther. That guy is he's a man amongst boys, that guy. Brad, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, but basically what y'all said, I the biggest surprise for me, the most entertaining surprise rather, was Pat McAfee coming back. I didn't know he was supposed to come back for that. So when they cued his music, me and the boy jumped up. We're like, yeah, let's go. Jesse the Body Ventura, cool show up cameo. He was in his colorful boas and his he was all in character. But I feel like we were 1 second away from getting like a grandpa to drop the N-bomb on national TV. Like, if I'm being honest, I was like, do not give this guy the mic more than we have to, because he's going to say something and this whole company is going to be in hot water. He's going to say something that maybe used to fly back then. You know, like, this dude doesn't help with the times. He's going to make a reference about women or something. It's going to get us all in trouble. So I'm glad they limited his mic time. He's also, just kind of old and like out of touch. I liked the cameo. Didn't like him being on the whole show. I liked Coco Beware showing up, Greg the Hammer Valentine. So those are cool throwbacks, man. The whole like feel of the show was throwback. The Drew McIntyre match, very entertaining. I personally am not a fan of Sami Zayn, so anytime he's getting his ass whooped on TV, I can cheer for that. I don't care who's whipping his ass, as long as he gets his ass whipped. And Drew McIntyre, I've been saying that that guy has been the best heel that this company's had for a while, since the build up to last WrestleMania. Man, he's absolutely killing it. The women's matches in between, and it's not just a women's match thing. Io Sky, every time she gets a prime time PLE match, you can just count on one hand the number of times she botches. And I'm like, how many more times are you going to keep putting her in these big time matches before she hurts somebody? Like, get her out of there, dude. She actually did hurt Liv Morgan. She freaking kneed her right in the nose. And at first, they're saying her nose broke. But I was like, nah, it didn't look broke. It just was gushing blood. And Andy, you called it. Like, they had to like cut away really quick. She can't have blood on network TV. So she kept wiping it, and then she ran to Dom and hugged him, and they kind of shooed her off, out of camera really quick. I thought the Gunther match was actually really good, minus the botches from Damian Priest, bro. When he jumped through the ropes and missed his mark, bro, Damian landed like flat on his back. I was like, oh, he's not even gonna get up from that. Like, you heard the thump, and I was like, I know he's hurt. But yeah, Gunther basically lifted him for the power bomb, dude. If it wasn't for Gunther, that whole part would have just been completely botched. But I'm also with y'all with why they saved the good stuff with Kevin Owens and Cody. Like, when we went off air, the beef with Triple H and all that, like, I had to go, get on Facebook and Instagram and see the highlights the day after. It's weird. They've been doing that for a lot of the PLEs though, man. Especially this beef with Kevin Owens and Cody, because it happened at Bad Blood too. Like, they goes off air and they go and do this stuff in the parking lot where there's a select few people or fans that saw it, and then somebody will upload it, and or WWE will upload it, and then it just doesn't really go anywhere. But I don't know. Overall, I thought it was a fun show. I hate that I waited all year for it, because I was expecting a big payoff, a big surprise entrance or something, because they had to shut the thing up so much all year. And then for me, it kind of fell flat. But if I was a new watcher watching this on NBC for the first time, I would enjoy it. You know what I mean? It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was average. It was average.
Ed, I want to get your thoughts on that main event, Ed.
Don't watch too much of it, but I will say is that it was a nice take to see the Eagle belt come out. That was nice. It definitely working kind of like the big dust angle with working on the injury like his dad. So I mean, that was nice. I'd have to say it was nice to hear Jesse's voice. It kind of brought you back to yesteryear's, the old school. I mean, watching on Saturday nights at your house, Andy. I mean, going back to the old days, But I mean, it's just I didn't watch too much after that, and then them putting in this stuff after the fact. I mean, that's just trying to get you to hook in and watch next week, and the thing about it is, or what they should have done, that they should have done it as it was going off the air, like old school TBS style,
Yeah, and
like
just cut
old,
it.
and like or like watch it kind of like faded out as they're battling
Tune
it.
in Sunday night. No.
Yeah, pretty much. Dusty finish.
Yeah,
We're
it's
out
a
of
dusty.
time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's my
Tom?
take.
Thoughts on the Saturday night's main event?
Well, I agree with Ryan. I thought the whole Jesse was shouldn't even have been there. That was useless in my book. I mean, they bring him off for like one thing and that was it. I mean, to me, it wasn't worth having him there. And only one thing I'll say is I'm glad it wasn't on at 11:30 because I would have been pissed if I stayed up for 2 hours and to watch that because it was a little disappointing. But I agree that the Kevin Owens thing, they finally I like what they're doing. But if anyone was a fan of Ring of Honor, this is almost exactly, not quite exactly, but he did an angle and it's almost the exact same thing with the way he's been doing interviews outside of the arena or in cars and stuff and then popping up in the crowd, even to the way a couple of the shirts he wore in these things were the same shirt he wore in the Ring of Honor thing. So I don't know if he was doing it on purpose or not, but I thought most of the matches were just like almost a Monday Night Raw, to be honest with you. It wasn't anything special.
It's kind of a lot of hype, but I do like that it's on at 8 o'clock. I will agree. I would have been pissed if I waited till 11:30 and had to stay up till 1:30 just to see the finish of the Cody match. So I like it that it's on at 8. I hope they keep it on at 8. So yeah, it's nice when they bring the nostalgia back. But I'll give you my 2 cents on Jesse. If he is a loose cannon on live TV, I want to watch it. Because if
Yeah.
he says something like about Hogan or Vince or the unionizing and all that other stuff, he'll always protect the wrestling business. But I like if he's trying to work some kind of angle out of it, like maybe a confrontation with Hogan on Saturday night's main event or something like that after all these years. It'd be great just to see that with a live mic. That I'm kind of intrigued. And he already said that I'll, see you in San Antonio. So he's going to be on the next one. So we'll have to see. And there was a buzz on
They're
social
doing
media.
more,
Oh yeah.
like it's a repeat thing. I thought it was like a one-time thing.
Yeah, he said I'll
Oh,
see
they.
you in San Antonio.
Oh.
So yeah.
All right.
Just to show you how different the wrestling fan is now, he made a comment. Now he's had that jacket for a long time. He made a comment saying that it was Damien. That they made that jacket out of Damien. He had that jacket when he was a regular commentator. He just busted it out or whatever. He made that comment, and then the social media went crazy with it. Like, they
Did
said,
they?
yeah, I
I
sure
thought
am
he
a
actually
joke.
killed a snake.
Like, that's how we got the jacket. See, you're working just a subtle angle, a little blurb, and then people are like, oh my God, I can't believe that's what they turned Damien into, a jacket for Jesse Ventura. What, are you serious? Are you serious right now? Staying on the subject of wrestling before we move to the sports talk, did you see all this buzz about the Rey Fénix thing with Tony Khan won't let him out of his contract because he was injured for a
No.
certain amount of time?
Oh,
And
yeah.
there was cryptic tweets out there that he was saying that he doesn't like to stay in a place where he's, it's a toxic environment and all that other stuff. Yeah, Tom, you wanna give us your thoughts on that?
It's in everybody's contract. I mean, it's not, this isn't something new. I mean, WWE has the same clauses in the contract. If you get hurt, they just add it on. They have the right to add it on to the end of the contract. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it's to me, I mean, most people I think would let him go, but I don't know. I mean, the more he's going to be a dick about it, the longer I'd make him stay.
Yeah, they're going through it with Ricky Starks also too. So, Ryan, any real quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, maybe not do so many useless high spots and you don't get hurt and you can get out of your
Jeez.
contract.
Absolutely. That's the one thing I will say about WWE. They do limit that stuff to a certain degree. I mean, I still think it's a little overblown with certain things like we're talking about with the War Games match. Well, your buddy's getting the shit kicked out of him, and you got to stop and grab three tables out from under the ring before you go save him. So, Brad, you want to weigh in on anything wrestling based before we
Well, I thought I saw an article that said that a lot of the wrestlers at AEW were unhappy with their booking and stuff like that with Tony Khan, but he is letting them pursue like outside bookings and venues and stuff like that. But I think like a lot of some of the mid-card talent are starting to like book their schedules up with all that other stuff. So now they're not even available for AEW.
We will see, because I've heard that they signed Penta, and I haven't seen nothing about that
Yeah.
either.
Yep.
So
I got one other wrestling thing. I don't know if you guys saw or heard anything about this, but Friday night, TNA had a pay-per-view, and I guess there was something that went on between Eddie Edwards and a fan in the front row, and it got physical, and Eddie Edwards
Oh.
knocked the guy's drink out of his hand. The guy slapped Eddie Edwards, and Eddie Edwards ended up slapping him back. And then a bunch of referees jumped in and pulled him apart, and the guy got yanked. But I guess it was something that legit happened from everything I've read online.
Oh shit.
All
Eddie
right.
smacked him good too.
Yes, he got him a lot cleaner than the
The
guy that
guy gave
got
him one
for
of these
sure.
like a fooling around like ha, take that. He smacked the shit out of him back.
Gave him the old Dr. D.
Woo.
Maybe they should bring back David Schultz for a Saturday night's main event.
Put him out there, announce it.
So let's move on to some sports talk, and you know how we break this up. We go from wrestling to. Are you ready? It's time for Tom's Shitty Picks. Thomas, take it away.
All righty, Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
All right, Thomas, who you got for
Do you want to
picks?
go into sports, or you want to do the picks first?
Picks. Do your
All
picks.
right. Well, last week I took Joe Burrows against Dallas's horrible defense, and worked out. He had 32 points in fantasy, in the ESPN fantasy format. He had 369 yards passing, and he had three touchdowns. This week I'm going to go back. I'm going to the college football playoffs. I only see one possible upset. I'm going to pick SMU over Penn State in the game. It's in Penn State. Pony Express magic. I just got a feeling SMU, there's going to be one upset. I got a feeling, and I think it's going to be the SMU game.
How many
Nice.
points they catch it?
Seven, I think. 7.5.
So, you want to talk any sports related stuff, or you want to do the NFL picks? So, do your sports talk stuff.
Well, I know we were going to talk about the Heisman. The Heisman was awarded last night, and a little bit of controversy, I guess. I mean, not much. I wouldn't have been unhappy with either of these guys getting it, but I guess the running back from Boise, I mean, Boise State was a little upset he didn't win. Ashton, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Jaunty. He said afterwards that he thought he should have walked away with it. Now, I don't think he should have walked away with it, but I have no qualms with him if he had won. Travis Hunter got it. He's first two-way player to win it since Charles Woodson. See what these guys think.
What do you think, Brankowitz?
I guess I can see his beef. He's having like a generational season as a running back. He leads in all categories, 2,500 yards. I think he's got almost 30 touchdowns. I think I want to say 27. As opposed to like, I think he stats wise, like he's put together the best season. Now you go to Travis Hunter. The guy's like a freak. They badmouth his defense because he's a very good wide receiver, but he's like not really like in the top five wide receivers in college football. But on the defensive side, they'll say like he doesn't have that many interceptions or he doesn't make that many tackles. That side of the field is like off limits. He's like your ultimate shutdown corner. They don't even look his way. So he's not going to put up any kind of defensive stats because the ball's just not going on his side of the field. So he's essentially, without actually having to make any plays, just by his coverage alone, is such an asset. So I if I had to vote, I would have went with Travis Hunter myself. But Genty, unbelievable season.
Ed?
He's 132 yards away from breaking Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record.
He's gonna do that in the bowl game.
Oh yeah.
I think that they picked the right guy. I mean, I think that he played, what was it, over 1,100 plays this year, playing on both sides of the ball. And to piggyback on Ryan's point, I mean, he essentially shuts down a quarter of the field. The ball's not coming that way. So it's hard for him to make a tackle. It's hard for him to make an interception if the ball doesn't go that way because they're basically just, he's shutting down that quarter of the field. And, I mean, anything about it is just that Austin Genty, I mean, he's a hell of a running back. I mean, 30 touchdowns, close to two, you know, like over 2,000 yards. I mean, he's a man amongst boys, and you know, it had to go to somebody. They can't split it. They can't give a code Heisman, you know. And if the Heisman really is supposed to go to the best college football player, then it went to the right person. But I am, in either way, I think that they can't be wrong. It's sour grapes, but guess what? That's just going to piss off Genty, and all of a sudden he's going to have a hell of a pro career for at least the first 4 years of his career until he gets hit too many times.
Brad, I know you don't watch a lot of football, so I want your opinion on this.
I watched plenty, buddy. No, it's the Heisman though, man. So probably a trophy that is held on because old timers just won't let it go. It's got all this sports history in it. People think it still means something. Does it mean something? I don't know. It's never gonna go away. It's one of those relics of college football, of days gone by when the Heisman really, really meant something, because the Heisman Trophy winner was supposed to go on and do something great in the NFL. I don't know. This trophy is, I never watch a single Heisman ceremony. I've never cared on who wins it, because there's a 90% chance that guy is a bust in the NFL. The point of the Heisman, best college football player, there's always, you know, a handful of candidates. Like, it's gonna go to somebody. It's like Ed said, it doesn't mean you suck. Janty, you're the most prolific running back we've seen almost since Barry Sanders. You're 132 yards away. So I don't think that he should take it to heart. You didn't get it. Somebody has to win. Like, there's no way not to hurt somebody's feelings, man. I think Travis Hunter is an excellent athlete. I think he's even more so what he does on the field is what he does off the field. You don't hear about Travis Hunter getting wrapped up in bullshit. You don't hear about Travis Hunter getting caught up in no bullshit. Deion Sanders took this kid under his wing. From what I hear about Travis Hunter, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs, he doesn't party. He's the first one in, he's the last one out. This dude studies film on both sides of the ball. He has to learn the offense and the defense every time he goes to play somebody so he can be prepared for the game. Like, the guy is a creature of what that old school football, what we've all been talking about, what is missing in the NFL right now, where people just want to freaking compete and they want to be the best. I think Travis Hunter's going to do great. I think Janty's going to do great. Hey, look, if you want to win the Heisman as a running back, don't go to Boise State. Sorry. Go play somebody, go play somewhere where the schedule is tough, where you face some legitimate freaking defenses. Because you cannot tell me that wasn't factored into it, man. You can't. The way these bozos rack and stack teams for the freaking bowl games, and they take it, sometimes they account for strength of schedule, sometimes strength of schedule don't mean shit. They can't make up their minds. But if you play for Boise State and go set a running back record in college football, bro, by next year nobody's gonna remember who you are. But if you did it at Alabama, Ohio State, or one of the big Power Five conference schools, they'd be talking about you. Nobody's gonna remember this guy. Sorry. I said what I said.
So what you're saying is you're not passionate about the Heisman Trophy.
Never watch it, man. I don't care, because go watch the Heisman commercials that air on ESPN all year. It's a bunch of has-beens and Tim Tebow.
Rashad Salaam.
It's a bunch of dudes I like didn't do anything in NFL. Like, there were some that succeeded. But I'm like, who cares, man?
You guys think that any of these NFL teams are going to try to get Travis Hunter to play both ways, or you think he's going to go just be
No.
strictly be a cornerback?
Nope, they're going to make him pick. When the Giants draft him, he'll be their number one quarterback
Yeah.
for the Jets.
I think eventually he's going to have to choose a side, because the NFL, it's going to break him down too much.
Oh,
He
yeah.
he's not a really thick guy.
No.
So, you know, the wear and tear at a certain point, you know, you're right. He's going to have to choose a side one way or the other. So,
I think he's a little small for an NFL wide receiver. I think he could make it as a cornerback for sure.
but he is a generational talent for sure.
Oh yeah. And with Dion helping, dude's gonna go far.
I
Dion
think
won't let him fail.
that was the biggest beef was
Yeah.
he had the Dion promo train behind him, and
100%.
Genty had, it's like Genty's the people's choice, but the media
Yeah.
chief was Hunter.
Yeah.
But everybody was better, but a lot of the media was jumping all over Dion at the beginning of the season. You
Oh,
know,
yeah, they were
no
every
sir.
time Dion did anything, people was lighting him up at the beginning of the season.
You know,
When they
so
started winning, people stopped saying shit.
they like to kick you when you're down and praise you when you're.
And then
Don't let him
with
play. Let his
the
boys
top.
play. Let Deion Sanders do his thing. Prime time. Let's go.
Thomas, any more sports tidbits you want to interject into the podcast
No,
this
but I
week?
will do. I'm going to steal your what grinds my gears, and it's college football. It's they've got to do something with when these guys announce they're transferring, because Marshall had to drop out of their bowl game because they had so many guys enter the transfer portal. They didn't have enough guys to safely field the team, so they had to drop out of a bowl game for this year.
Didn't they all follow the coaches switching teams, right? And then
Yes,
you took all
that's
the
true.
players with them.
Yeah.
That's college football, man.
Yeah,
That's
man.
it.
Adapt. Since that's, you know, Thomas, that is a great segue into my point about Bill Belichick going to UNC.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna kick this to Brad first.
What? Bill Belichick going to UNC?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. Who do they play for? The ACC? Yeah, UNC's had a pretty decent program over the last couple of years. Bill Belichick's going to bring people in. He's a big name coach. He's going to get recruits. He's going to get the boosters to pony up some NIL money. They're going to probably be the next powerhouse for the ACC for however long Bill Belichick stays there. But I think Bill Belichick needs to adapt to the way college football is played, though. If he tries to go in there strong arming them dudes like he did. Well, I don't know. He got away with it in New England. He did it in New England. That's for pro athletes. Wes Welker made a comment in an interview next, you know, couple, how long was it? He was gone. He said, get rid of him. He's like, yeah, you don't like the way I'm doing things? You're gone. I think he'll do good. We'll see.
I like the sweet ideal that he set up for his son, that after he's all done and he retires, that his son gets to take over the program.
At UNC? As
Yeah.
part of the 700-page Bible.
Yeah.
He's running it like a pro team. He signed Mike Lombardi as his general manager. They're hiring a
Let's
guy
go.
that's they're calling him as a pro the like a player personnel thing. He's gonna be like the head of scouting. It's gonna be he's gonna try to run it, and that's what he's actually trying to use as a recruiting tool, saying that get these kids used to what a pro program is gonna be like when they get to the NFL. He's already got the number one ranked quarterback's already announced that he's gonna come and visit, and he had no interest at all in UNC until Belichick went there. So it may work for a year or two. I don't think he's gonna stick around for very long.
Yeah.
Don't forget Saban's his boy too. So any of the inside stuff that he needs to learn, he's
Yeah.
got that here.
Oh yeah, they'll just go out and go fishing. But I mean, Steve Belichick, I mean he's doing a great job out in Washington being the defensive coordinator. So I mean, you know, he does have experience, and he's not under daddy. You know what I mean? So, you know, and I'll just say this, you know, it would be nice to see Belichick back coaching for the Patriots again, especially on how crappy they've been playing lately. Just all he say it. Anyway, I think it's great for college football. I think it kind of injects some kind of different type of blood to college football. I think it's great. I mean, you know, Belichick has nothing to prove in the NFL anymore. He really, I mean, if you want to judge it, does he have the most wins? No, Don Shula still has it. But bottom line is that you judge it by rings, and he's got six of them. So I think it's great for college football, since basically, I mean, in for everybody talking about it and everything like that, the media loves it. I mean, Fox loves it, ESPN loves it, ABC and CBS, they all love it. I mean, you're gonna have the greatest coach of all time. If he falls flat on his face, oh, it's news. If he
It's
does,
still news.
yeah, of course.
Yep.
Still think he should have went to the Cowboys instead.
Hey, no. We're gonna trade up, get Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders, and Dion is gonna come be our coach.
Be good for ESPN.
That's what's gonna happen.
Tom, you want to add anything?
No, that we got everything covered right there.
Okay, so it's time to do some NFL picks. What do you got this week, Tom, for picks?
All right. Well, first of all, after week 14, Andy and Brad and Ed all went 10-3. Shaggy and I went 9-4, and Ryan went 8-5. So the standings after 14 weeks. Andy's in first. He's 145-63. Ryan's in second. He's 140 and 68. I'm in third, 138 and 70. Brad and Ed are tied 136 and 72. And Shaggy is 122 and 63. So
Brad, I
my
can
five
see you.
games this week for week 16, the games for what we're picking for is week 16. I picked five games. I think are pretty good. There's a few good games. Hold on a minute. Let me find it. Here we go. Game one, Los Angeles Chargers at home against the Denver Broncos. Andy.
Charges.
All righty. Brad.
The Broncos.
All righty. Ed.
I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
All righty. Ryan.
I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
All righty. I'm going with the Broncos on that one. Bo Nix is making me a believer, and their defense plays well. Too many injuries on the Chargers. Game two, Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Houston Texans. Andy.
Chiefs, obviously.
All righty. Brad.
Bro, the Chiefs at home, they're not going to lose. The refs, the witchcraft, the script writers, whatever you want to call it, they're not going to lose at home. Chiefs.
Ed.
Until they lose, I'm going to go with the chefs.
All righty.
Brad
Ryan.
Pitt.
Go with the Texans. That Mahomes went down today.
I agree. I'm going with Texans as well. I think they're starting to play better. I think they're going to start peaking right at the right time. Game three, Washington Commanders. I'm sorry, I almost said the Redskins. Washington Commanders at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy.
Eagles.
All righty, Brad.
Wait, who's the home team?
Washington.
Ooh.
10-3, Brad. 10-3.
I'm gonna say the Eagles. They got DeVonta Smith back. That team is, they're cooking.
All righty, Ed.
Eagles.
All righty, Ryan.
Eagles.
All righty. All right, clean sweep for the podcast on that one. I think Philly's going to win that game. Game four, Baltimore Ravens at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy.
I'm going Ravens.
All righty, Brad.
Hard not to pick the Ravens. They are on fire, and I feel like Pittsburgh already peaked and is coming back down.
All righty, Ed.
I'm gonna go with the Ravens because I think that they got exposed. I think the Steelers got exposed today.
All
Yes,
righty,
they did.
Ryan.
Same Ravens.
Yep, I agree, Ravens. I think the I agree with Brad. I think the Steelers have peaked too early. I think they're coming back down to earth. All right, the last game, Seattle Seahawks at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Andy.
Ooh.
Vikings.
All righty, Brad.
It's a home game for Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Seattle.
All righty,
10 and
Ed.
3, Brad.
I'm going with the Vikings.
All righty, Ryan.
I am going with the Vikings.
All righty.
No faith.
Score.
I'm going with Minnesota as well. I mean, I'm not a huge Sam Darnold fan, but he's played well this year. All right, AC, that's it.
All right, so that's wrapping up the sports picks and talks for this week. And you know, I've been out of we're segueing into the tinfoil hat. So Thomas, take us there because we're going to talk about something that's pretty epic. Go ahead.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. Available on Amazon.com, Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
Bradford.
Man, where do we start with this? Have you guys been watching the news? Aaron Rodgers mentioned it in an interview, a post-game interview about these New Jersey drones, and I was like, is this mug on some ayahuasca in the middle of this interview? What is he talking about? Went straight to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you start scrolling reels, start scrolling posts. There are SUV-sized drones freely flying all over New Jersey. And now, when you get on TikTok and Instagram, you start scrolling through the reels, you are seeing drones showing up in DC, the West Coast. I saw a post of people spying them down here off the coast of Louisiana. my point, like, they are everywhere now. So these drones are coming over. My theory, maybe we're into Project Bluebeam. If you guys don't know what that is where the government fakes an alien invasion and gets the people all worked up and some shit. Plenty of movies and predictive programming to support that. Are we there? I don't know, man. The last time we had suspicious aircraft flying across America with these Chinese weather balloons, we scrambled jets and they shot them out the air within seconds, within minutes, right? No time wasted is my point. These drones, however, nobody will answer. I watched an interview the other day. The governor of one of these small New Jersey towns started asking for answers on, he was on a major like CNN broadcast. He's like, I want answers. Somebody respond, feds, the president, what are these drones? The reporter's like, we got to go to commercial. We got to dip out. Cut them off. I've seen congressmen, senators, whoever for New Jersey, whatever on the East Coast, they're coming out saying, oh, it's an Iranian mothership dropping drones off. It's an act of war. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Is somebody who is actually going to believe that, first of all? But it sounds like they're trying to set some shit up to get us to believe Iran is flying drones over us to get us to jump into another Middle Eastern war. You know what I mean? And then today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a very like hard-nosed Republican, posts on her freaking Twitter that we all need to be preparing for war, that that's where we're going right now with these stupid drones. I'm like, hold on, lady. You're in a position of authority. You cannot post shit like that. Like, you are yourself are gonna lead us into a fucking war posting shit like that. So it is wild right now. I will say for this year, Andy, we've had the most, yeah, you, because you're the only one I know that's been keeping tabs. Alien related shit this year. It's been off the charts, man. From the mall to the Mexican government showing that they had found mummified aliens in some pyramids. We're finding new pyramids for crying out outside of Cuba, underwater. We're finding underwater pyramids. We had the big black spot that I showed y'all a while back causing all those waves. People said that was a UFO. We got the UFO base off the coast of California that they blurred out on Google Earth. All kinds of shit. I don't know. I was talking to Ed earlier. I do like what he said. If it was something like dangerous, if it was ours or whatever, NORAD or somebody would have come up by now and been like, hey, that's our shit. Chill the fuck out, right? Or hey, oh, that's not our stuff. Get your shotguns and your hunting rifles and go outside and defend your home. We haven't heard shit. I just want answers. Just like the Miami Mall incident. I just want answers, man. If it's alien related, man, we can handle it. We're adults.
If we can
Let me
handle
know.
legal aliens, we can handle real
Right?
aliens.
If they're from another dimension or another planet, we can handle it. Just don't give them taxpayer money. We can handle it.
So let's layer all this stuff in that's happened over since we started the old podcast, not since we started the tinfoil hat. Great segment. What a great segment. Ryan, great segment, right?
Fantastic.
We had a debriefing that they admitted that there were underwater UFOs. Now all of a sudden this happens. It's crazy. It's like they won't tell you what it is, but nobody shoots them down. That's what I don't understand. Like to Brad's point, if they're intrusive and they're all over the place and they're in federal airspace, you can't shoot them down. There's got to be some more to it. And I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but did you see Microsoft came up with a processor that they have found that we can tap into the multiverse? They came up with a core processor that goes in like laptops, phones. While they were creating this processor, they found a way that this processor taps in to an actual multiverse. So, do we live on Earth 1? Do we live on Earth 363? So, somewhere there is another great podcast like this with the same dudes on it, just we're all different.
Yeah,
It's This
Probably
stuff,
all of us on another podcast, but we're all gay.
allegedly.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, which you never know.
But look, man, I think it was earlier this year or last year, NASA announced that they were studying particle movement through Antarctica or some shit, and they found atoms that were traveling backwards, i.e., time travel, bro. So if now Microsoft has a processor that can see multi dimensions, NASA already discovered particles moving backwards, which is essentially it was like atoms or radiation from the sun, but it wasn't moving through the Earth the way the normal, radiation moves. It was moving backwards in time. So like they found this loop of atoms moving backwards in time travel. So like, bro, you think they're not exploiting that? They're not studying that shit?
What about the dude in New Jersey filming himself shooting at the drone?
I'm surprised there's not more of that, actually.
Bro, I don't know why people aren't just out there just like racking up some rifles and just going to town.
I saw a video. I sent it to Brad. Somebody was on the highway on an overpass, and it was going over another highway. There was a drone that had crashed, and they had the hazmat guys and the cops around the drone, and it was crashed on the highway in New Jersey. What the hell is going on? We're living in the time that it's great to be alive when it comes to stuff like that, because if this is something that's going to be
Bro,
historic,
it's
you want
crazy.
to see it. Tom, thoughts?
I am.
Drunk?
I agree with Brad. I think it's all government stuff, but they're up to something shady.
But what do you think it's leading to, though? Do you
Don't
think that
know.
they're trying to sabotage stuff before the he gets in again?
No. I don't think it has anything to do with Trump at all, to be honest with you. I think it's probably the people that are pulling the strings with everything else.
Ed's shaking his head. He disagrees with you. And before I get to Ed, I want to
He's
say that
wrong, but okay.
I had heard that they can't come out and say what it is because it's a BlackRock thing. But
Ooh.
it's a privatized military thing that's black ops, and they don't have any ties to it, but they know what it is and they can't say what it is.
I still can't see our government or military letting, even if it was some privatized BlackRock, whatever militia group fly. Like, I can't see him not shooting these things down or at least like demanding answers, being like, hey, here's the deal. We know what it is. We're not telling y'all, just know you're safe. Everything's cool, right?
They haven't even said that, Brad.
There's nothing, like zero, except for Trump. Trump is calling the shit out. Everyone else is acting like we're not seeing anything. Like they got me outside every night looking in the skies of Mississippi. I want to see a damn drone, bro.
Well, if you record it, make sure you upload it.
If I see one, bro, I'm getting.
Just
Ed's
go
gonna
shoot
try to.
straight up, Brad. You ever see the Mexican? You're gonna take a bullet right to the top of the head.
Hey, look, Tom, if this turns into Independence Day, you are not allowed to grab a crop duster airplane and go fly that shit into the mothership. I won't let you. I won't let you.
You're more Randy Quaid in this situation than I am, man.
Ed,
Take that as a compliment.
you want to add to this madness?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things like Brad and I talked a little bit today, because typically NORAD or Strategic Air Command would have said something if they're flying over a U.S. airspace. Nothing said. So, the thing about it is that, allegedly there's probably where these things are flying. They're probably some sort of, JSOC bases or something like that, allegedly. So they're probably flying out of there. I also would like to remind everybody that about 5 years ago, around here, that it began the kind of herding us back into the house and keeping us in the house. And you tie that in with the alien invasion, it's kind of like one of those things. And so, like, the thing about it is that, Tom's boyfriend, and Anthony Fauci,
What?
Only I'm married. What about you, brother? Can you still be a Reich?
Nope. He's a lucky one.
Nope.
Allegedly, right?
But I mean, if you listen to that Senate hearing, and he says about, basically impacting our lives, could this be one of those blue beam situations where they're trying to get us back in the houses again? So you never know. I mean, it's hard to say. Hopefully, good will triumph over evil. It doesn't always, but hopefully, cooler heads will prevail. And I hope that this is not like a ruse to get us involved in the Middle East again. We need to spend some money here on our own people, get our own people back to work, drive some gas prices down, drive some food prices down, things like that. Things that are a little bit more important. Build some businesses here so, we can actually have people that can actually have a livable wage and that type of thing, and have, affordable health care. Just saying. I shall get off my gigantic soapbox now. Thank you. That is
And you
all.
can buy drone airspace and back ahead if you want to fly a drone and
There
back.
you go.
Phantom, you want to add to this tinfoil conspiracy?
Why not? I think that is I think that's just straight military. I'm like, these things are flying around. They got lights on them. So I think if they were any kind of tactical, like attack drones or anything like that, they're not going to have lights on them. They're not going to go away every night at 11 p.m. I think they're running tests on whatever's the next newest and best thing, and where they probably have to do it over an area that's urban or whatever. I mean, I don't know if those things are seeing through buildings or what, and they got to test them out. They're not going to test them out overseas, because if somebody shoots one down, they're going to steal our technology. So I'm thinking it's 100% us. I don't think it's aliens. I don't think it's Iranians. I think it's us. And I think if it wasn't us, that's when that shit would be getting shot down. Why would they just leave it up there and just leave everything to speculation? That's all of a sudden they're just gonna go away, and they're gonna give up the blanket. It's like a U.S. Air Force kind of thing or something like that. Well, we're gonna use these to save us, or they're for the test weather, or whatever excuse they come up with. But I think it's some kind of a military tactical thing.
So you're
But
going
to piggyback that
GI,
on
you're going
Ryan,
GI Joe, no Cobra, right?
100%.
Okay,
Ryan,
go
I'm
ahead
gonna
now.
ask this question. Well, mate, what's going on this weekend that they're trying to distract us from? Maybe that's a good question.
Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, bread and circus doesn't quite cut it anymore,
Bradford, what do you think? You think there's a distraction going on that they need to create? We can't hear you.
I think they got him already now.
They got Brad. They
They got
zapped him.
Brad, run.
Right. Hide the hard drive. Hide your hard drive. Bradford, we can't hear you. We can't hear you, Brad.
About now?
There you go.
Yay.
Bro, there's a knob on the bottom of this mic,
Oh.
and I just now found out that
That's
that is
not
the
the mic,
volume
Brad.
knob. Look, can you hear me right now? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They're coming for you.
What about now?
Yep.
Yep.
Now?
Yeah. We're losing you, but we can still
Dofton.
hear you. He's looking more and more elated at the more he spins.
Bro, I thought this knob was just thin. I didn't know it did anything.
Alone. You're fucking up the podcast.
Hey, this was that one that Chris sent me. I didn't even come with the instructions. I had no idea what any of it does. I just plugged it in.
I thought you were gonna disappear for a while, like DB Sweeney.
But no, what are they distracting us from? What's the big, is there something happening this weekend that I missed? What is the
Don't
big,
know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I mean,
oh, the only big thing I can think of is Jay-Z getting sued in a civil court thing. There's a lot of Jay-Z Diddy shit going down right now.
or that they pardoned Hunter from 2014 through now.
Oh yeah, they did do that.
Oh.
But the drone thing's been going on for a while too. Like, it's been going on for weeks. It's just now getting a lot of steam because Donald Trump even tweeted about it, but it's been going on for weeks. So it's just weird that, you know, something that goes on that long that they're not just being like, it's military, chill out.
It's probably Amazon testing their new delivery
Yeah.
system.
Like here's a statement from the government. It's military, don't worry about it. But there's nothing. That's what's so weird to people. There's nothing. It's weird.
Well, we can actually continue this at a different point in time if it heats up. There's no saying that every week the tinfoil hat has to be a different segment. If the drone thing heats up, you can bring it back next week. Keep
Let's do
the
it.
people up to date with all things
Yeah.
aluminum foil.
Yeah. Let's do
So
it.
let's wrap this episode up with some shout outs. Let's go with the Phantom.
I want to shout out Kennedy Clark. She's been doing an outstanding job doing her father's football picks every week. She's got him on top, just like the hockey. That's the biggest conspiracy going right now. This guy plays zero
Collusion.
football and he's beating everybody by 5 games.
Collusion.
Collusion. Go get him, Kennedy.
I get all my picks from the drones. Let's go to the Nutty Professor. I'm going to start calling Tom the Nutty Professor when it comes to his views on all things tinfoil. Thomas, what do you got this week?
I want to give a shout out to my wife. We went out and celebrated our 8th anniversary this weekend. It's not until Tuesday, but we weren't going to feel like going out in the middle of the week, so we went out this weekend and celebrated. So happy anniversary, babe.
I'll piggyback on that. I'm gonna wish Tom a very happy first semester finished in the books in the old college world. So let's give the professor a round of applause. He's putting some degrees behind that title. Put some degrees behind that title. MBA, MBA. Ed.
I mean, I'm just going to say happy anniversary to Tom and Kelly. That's all.
Ed's acknowledging the ring, Tom. Show it to him. One more time.
Acknowledge.
There it is. Bradford, you get to close out the show, brother.
Let's be honest. Ed is the lucky one here. Let's be honest. We've all thought it. Don't answer it. We've all thought it.
Ed took the hard way to get there, though.
We've all been there. So I just want to shout out Chris. Bro, I ain't seen you and I don't know how long. Hit us up in the group chat, Chris. Text me. Let me know you're alive. Something, bro.
Yeah,
I
where
was
you?
thinking about you the other day and I was like, man, I missed my guy. Did I make you mad teasing you because you're a 49ers fan? I don't know. Come back on the show, dude. We miss you, man. At least give us a cooking segment. Do something. Miss you, Chris.
Yeah, put it in the group chat. Maybe he'll respond. He said he had 1,000 things going on and just
Yeah, bless his heart.
time and this stuff, but it all came after Brad had mentioned about how I forget which month it was, is Men's Health Awareness Month. Chris dropped right off. It's like Brad hit him to the core,
What
something
time is it,
going
me?
on. And after that, he's been null and void. He doesn't want to come on and have Brad get him all misty on the podcast and dusty and all that stuff. And so, Chris, we're thinking of you, and we're going to wrap this episode up from us to you. It's almost Christmas time. Christmas episode next week. What do you think? Is next week Christmas episode, Professor? What do
Don't
you think?
know.
Ugly Christmas sweaters?
Today's the 15th, so yeah, it'd be the 23rd.
Okay, there you go,
Oh, yeah.
23rd. Let's get those sweaters out.
I
Later,
got
fellas.
one.